forward to Dr. Jim Painter's talk. He is director of program, the Master's of Functional and Integrative Medicine at Johns Hopkins University. And he's going to be giving us a talk on fasting today. So let's welcome Dr. Painter.
Thank you very much. My slide deck on fasting is 450 slides. So I thought we could do the whole thing in like a half a day. But in 20 minutes, I cut it down to 20 slides. That means I left out, I don't know, 89% of it. But I've actually got an extra 20 slides after my talk that might answer questions you might have. So it's really 80 slides. So this is health benefits of fasting. So Isaiah talks about this a lot. Isaiah 58 is the amazing chapter on what is not fasting. The first six verses are, do you do this? That's not fasting. Oh, it kind of looks like it is. And then it gets to verse 6, and it says, is this not the fast that I've chosen? To break the bonds of wickedness. Really? What you don't eat is going to break the bonds of wickedness. How in the heck is that possible? To undo the straps of the yoke? To let every oppressor go free? To break every yoke? My goodness, you all fast every day, don't you? Look what it does. It does some amazing things that you wouldn't think. But this is the one I want to focus on, and it's only part of this. Then your light will shine forth like the morning, and your healing will spring forth speedily. Really? Really? Your healing is going to spring forth. I read this verse 45 years ago, and I didn't know why. Now I have 100 reasons why this works. I'm going to give you 5. And so your healing will spring forth speedily by doing what? Just don't eat. You know, and that's pretty easy. How much does it cost you? Nothing. You know? Can you do it on every diet? Every single diet you can do this on. Doesn't matter where do I live? North, south, east, in a hole? Doesn't matter. Everybody can fast. Now, my question is for you, how many of you fast frequently? See your hands. Yeah, a good percentage of you. And so people ask me how often I fast. I fast every day. So do you. What's the first thing you do in the morning? You break your fast. You have breakfast. Oh, you usually eat breakfast, don't you? You're breaking your fast. Now, the key here is how long did you fast? So when we get done with this, my last point is, how long did you not eat to fast? So that's going to be the main point of this, but this is just a study. It's from 97. It shows you how long we've been looking at this. This is actually a study that happened before 97, but this is what they found. So if you're a mouse, you live to be about, you know, 50%, 32 months. You eat less, you live longer. Eat less, you live longer. Eat even less, you live even longer. You can increase your lifespan, 32 to 52. You can increase your lifespan by 60% if you're a mouse. Now, the thing is, I think we can too, but there's just no data. If you were just, anyone were willing to do this, don't just give me your baby. We're going to lock them up for 95 years. We're going to feed them, some a lot, some a little, and see how long they live. But you know, funny thing, nobody's willing to do that. If anybody is, we'll just start it right now, put the little child in a box and see how long they live. So we don't know for humans, but is it likely that we live longer? Yeah. Do we live healthier? Most certainly we live healthier. And so this then just gives you, it's a pictorial diagram of what it does. And so, you know, I'm not talking about all this, but just read what it does. What does fasting do? Does fasting, in my mind, fasting helps almost every single condition you have. Not all of them, most all of them. Does your knee hurt? Yeah. Your guts hurt? Yeah. You know, do you have problem with digestion? Oh, yeah. Hey, the best way you can help your microbiome is to don't eat. But it lives on what you eat. That is correct. And the ones that live the best ones don't need as much as the ones that are harmful. And so if you just don't eat for a period of time, your microbiome improves. And there's many studies that show that. But you can just read these. This is what it does. We're just going to talk a little bit about my favorite, which is brain function. Really? My little sad 70-year-old brain functions better when I don't eat. I can tell you, when I fast for 3 days, on the third day, I'm as sharp as a 12-year-old. My brain just functions really well when I don't feed it. That doesn't make sense. You got to feed it. No, you got to not feed it to do what I'm going to show you next that happens. And there's two critical things that fasting does. And so the first one is ketosis. Ketosis is your friend. If you don't ever get in a ketotic state, you're not being good to your body. And now you can go to a ketogenic diet. You can, and it works. But that's not what I'm recommending here. So what are ketones? Ketones are small little molecules, either 3 or 4 carbons long. And the ones we're talking about here, really for the human body, is acetoacetate and beta-hydroxybutyrate. Those are the two. Your brain loves them. Your brain uses them better than it uses sugar. It's just incredible, those ketones and how good they are. So our question for today, and we've only had 5 minutes, so we have 15 left. What is a ketone and how does your body make them? I've had the answers to these 5 questions I had for 30 years. I asked people, no one had an answer until I found these studies. Now, I do apologize. All these are just a whole bunch of studies I'm going to give you. So my apologies. Here's number one. And this is the neurokinetic therapies for Alzheimer's disease, an evidence update, a potential role for diet by Taylor. And this is done in 2019. This, I hate to share this with you. And I won't. It's my favorite diagram. It's the favorite diagram. I study all kinds of things. I've been a professor for 40 years. And this is my favorite diagram. This explained to me why you don't make ketones and what causes your body to make ketones. And it's a very simple diagram. This is a brain cell. That is a liver cell. Inside each one is this huge mitochondria. They're not that big. And there's another one over here. And so the question is, and this is the blood system between them. And then this is the portal vein that's bringing everything in for your guts. So what question is, you need fatty acids, not insulin. Because insulin, this is so, I hate to even tell you this. This is my favorite thought. What does insulin do? Insulin, this carnitine pyrimidyl transferase, this lets fat into the mitochondria to be burned. If that's not working, you don't burn fat. You just don't burn it. What does it do? It ends up right here. You know, my friend came to church one, he poked, says, what's that? What are you doing? That's 10 pounds of fat I don't need. And he's poking at it. Okay, fine. How do you get rid of that fat? Well, this is so fascinating. This little enzyme right here, fatty acyl-CoA. So your fatty acids attach to CoA and they do nothing until they get into your mitochondria. How do they get in there? By this thing opening up. If there's insulin around, it doesn't open. Oh, so fasting, or eating a ketogenic diet, both of those make fats go up and they shut down insulin. So, you know, you can burn a lot of fat if you're not eating carbs. That's why a ketogenic diet functions. So let's look at this, what happens. It goes into your mitochondria. Oops. Where am I? Oh, wrong button. Okay. It goes into your mitochondria. And then you've got this acyl-CoA, it whacks off some, and you've got acetyl-CoA. Acetyl-CoA is the center of your entire metabolism for food. It is the thing that moves stuff around. And so what you have here then is it breaks, you've got acetyl-CoA. All of a sudden, it's piling in there so fast, you run out of CoA. You've got none left. What does your cell do? Your cell then takes this acetyl-CoA, it combines it to 2 to make an acetoacetyl-CoA, so you've got twice as much CoA, you're still out of CoA. So what do? It chops off the CoA in this hydroxymethylglutyryl CoA reductase, and you end up with acetoacetate and beta-hydroxybutyrate. Now, this is God's amazing design. You know what? Most cells in your body can use these ketones for energy. You know what cells can't? Your liver. Wait a minute. This is all happening in your liver, but your liver can't use it. So what does it do? It pumps it out here into the circulation system. And where does it go? To your brain. Your brain does use it. So your brain opens up the channel here, brings in these, breaks them down to acetyl-CoA, goes into the TCA cycle, produces NADH and FAD. They go to electron transport, and you make energy. You're full of energy. I cannot tell you how much energy I get on the third day of fasting. Now, how often do I do that? Rarely. Almost never. Why? Because I fast every single day. every day for 25 years. Now, did I yesterday? No. Because God says, go to breakfast. Breakfast? I haven't eaten breakfast in months. And then many months. But I met someone there that I was supposed to meet, and we hit it off like this. Now he's my best friend. And we met over breakfast, which I don't eat. Okay, so then you've got this mitochondria, and it's kicking out into electron transport all of this NADH, which makes ATP. Now, I don't have time to do this really, but medium-chain triglycerides don't use this enzyme. They go right in and start making ketones. So if you want to make ketones and you like eating chocolate, fine. You need to drink MCT oil. My coffee every morning for, I don't know, 20 years, has got MCT oil in it. And where do you get MCT oil? From coconut. You can use coconut oil because it's a wonderful oil. But I just use straight MCT oil. So I get MCT oil every morning and I think, my body is making ketones all morning long. And coffee actually extends the fast. Cream and ketones don't stop it, so I fast till about noon. All right, that's my favorite diagram. Do you have any questions about that diagram? Is it your favorite? I'll give this to you. I have my business cards here. If you want this, I'll email it to you so you can use it. So I've got my business cards right here. And I would like you to use this in every single talk you give.
Do you have bumper stickers?
No, I don't. I know. It's a good idea, though. And so, okay, that is my favorite diagram. But I had other questions. Ketosis may promote brain macroautophagy and by circulating SIRT1 through the hypoxia-induced factor. Now this, okay, maybe this is my favorite diagram. It's my second maybe, but it's a little small, so I'm gonna have to read it to you. And so what this shows is what I just told you is that ketones cause this mTOR, which causes macroautophagy, and you make energy out of it. Now, ketones also decrease this HGAC, which really are helpful in ALS and Parkinson's disease. It increases the sirtuin-1, which increases CREB, which provides brain-derived neurotropic factor. People lied to me in college. I wasn't a Christian, and I drank every weekend. And they said, you just destroyed 100,000 brain cells. You'll never get them back. They lied to me. They lied to me right here. I can make new brain cells. I thought I was done when I was 19. I became a believer when I was 19. I thought, if I ruined my whole life by killing my brain cells? And the answer is no, from neuroplasticity. And this just shows one way that it makes it. You increase more BDNF when you have ketones. Now, ketones also produce macroautophagy, which is my point number two, which I'm going to talk about in just a minute. And then it also increases hypoxia-induced factor, which makes your brain capillaries increase. Isn't that wonderful? Getting more blood to my 70-year-old brain. It's just a wonderful thing. I think about that when I go to bed at night. Ah, BDNF, I'm getting it. This, I'm getting more blood to my brain. Oh, this is wonderful. Sometimes my MCT oil is powder. Isn't that weird? It's got cornstarch. So you put the oil in the cornstarch, it turns into powder. So I just take a big spoon of it and I eat it. I can do it 5 times a day, depending on what I'm feeling like. But it increases your brain cells. And then mTOR, if you decrease mTOR, you create macroautophagy, which is my next slide. But it does these other things. It reduces apoptosis. What's that? Programmed cell death. So it decreases apoptosis, decreases amyloid beta. What is that? That's the stuff in Alzheimer's that people think it causes it. I don't. I think it's there because you have Alzheimer's, but whatever. Amyloid beta, it decreases it, and it increases biogenesis, making new bio stuff. Isn't that wonderful? Okay. Now here, then, fasting, when does the process start? I wondered that. I wondered, how long do I have to not eat before I start making ketones? I couldn't find it until I found this study. I hate to show this to you, too. Because it's so good to me. It took me years to find this. I'm giving it to you in 2 minutes. So this is impact of internet and fasting on health and disease processes. Okay, what is this showing? This is just showing you eat breakfast, blood sugar goes up, eat lunch goes up, eat dinner goes up, have a snack before you go to bed, it goes up. So at midnight, it's gone down. You get up in the morning, you eat, and it goes up. How long did you fast there? 8 hours, maybe. 9 hours. The worst thing you can do If you get one thing out of this talk, the worst thing you can do, the worst thing you can do is eat breakfast and a snack before you go to bed. Why? Because it keeps your blood sugar pumping out all the time. It just doesn't quit. So I wonder then, if you fast for a day, does that give you ketones? Does it take longer than a day to do it? Well, this just shows here that, okay, here you're eating here, and this is like 8 at night, or this is like 6 in the morning, this is noon, and this is 6 in the evening. So you're eating for that period, and you're fasting the rest of the time. And so morning comes, here it is, here's morning, 10, 11, you haven't eaten yet. 11 o'clock, you start making ketones. You make ketones all day long until midnight. Midnight comes, you don't eat until the next day at 8 in the morning. Look at that amount of time. It's 16 hours. You're making ketones. Is that good for your body? Yes. But it's difficult to do. Try eating today and then don't eat tomorrow and do that every day of your life. You know the difficult part is to cram enough food in the day you eat. You just can't do it. You're eating all day long. You get just pile it in, you know, at 12. Then you go to bed and you don't eat for a day. And then I've done this, but very rarely. I've just done it as a test. I have friends that tried to just do it with their life and they tried to kill themselves. So then this is the answer. How long do you have to not eat to make ketones? So here, this is weird. They ate at 2 and 5 and at 8. So they fasted 18 hours. So this is odd. I mean, who wants to eat at 2 in the afternoon until 8? I do this, but I eat sometimes like noon to 6. But I don't do it every day. Like conferences like this, it screws me up. It does, because once in a while, this morning all I have is coffee. And so you have your breakfast at 2 in the afternoon. Blood sugar goes up, goes up, goes up. Now you haven't eaten anything here since this is like 8 o'clock at night. And so morning comes. And then you've got breakfast time has come, but you don't eat. So whatever time here, say from 9 to 2, so for 4, 5, 6 hours, you're making ketones every day. What is my suggestion for you? Eat this way. Now, can some people not do it? Yeah. If you weigh 97 pounds and you're a female and you're 18 years old and you're pregnant, okay. All right. And my sister took in this young girl, and she's got a 5-year-old, and she's 19. And so that's a case. You shouldn't do this. But there's not many. There's not many cases where you can't do this. You're just shrinking the time. It's not even fasting, really. You're shrinking the time in the day that you're eating, and I'm almost out of time. So this is autophagy, and it's the main thing. And what does autophagy do? This is it. Every cell of your body starts encapsulating the broken pieces. It connects to a lysosome, it digests them, and you end up with brand new proteins, fats, carbohydrates, nucleic acids, and your body uses them to build your body. Autophagy, autophagy, you eat yourself. I want you to picture this. You go into the grocery store, and they package the shelves, they put all stuff, they left the boxes. Next morning you walk in and say, man, this is a junky place, there's boxes everywhere, I can't do it. You do that for 5 days and try and get to the groceries. You can't. There's boxes stacked up all over the place. You're pushing boxes away. There's green beans. I wonder where the peaches are. I don't know. Looking for the peaches. You can't find them. Why? Because of the junk that's there. Our cells are the same way. We don't make things right. We misform proteins. And we just metabolize and we make junk. How does your body clean it up? With autophagy, autophagy. Your body cleans up the busted and the broken pieces. Now, the effects of calorie restriction on autophagy. This is just the diagram of how it happens. And I have one more minute. So if you have a lot of insulin, it produces AKT, and it increases mTOR, the mammalian target for rapamycin. And so what does mTOR do? It stops ULK1, which doesn't make this complex that forms these autophagocytes. And so how do you shut this thing off? Eat. Just eat. That's all you need to do. And eat 5 times a day, and it hardly ever happens. It's going on a little bit all the time, but not much. So what happens here then in starvation? AMP goes up and ATP goes down. What is AMP? Adenosine monophosphate. So ATP has 3 high energy bonds. It breaks off a phosphate and you use the energy. Breaks off another phosphate and you use the energy. And then you have AMP. When AMP goes up and ATP goes down, your body goes, we're dying. We don't have enough energy. What do we do? And it increases AMPK, adenosine monophosphate kinase. And what does it do? It actually promotes ULK1 complex. It makes these autophagosomes. And you can watch a picture of this in an electron or just a regular microscope. And you can watch these things forming in hours after you don't eat. And within a day of not eating, they're just everywhere and you're eating everything. And so it cleans up your body. So then essential role of autophagy and lifespan, I don't have time for this. And this just shows 8-hour time-restricted feeding on weight. If you just time-restrict fasting, and this is a study in weeks, this is 4 weeks, goes down and it keeps going down. This little point right here I want to talk about. Every feeding study you look at, every diet study, every study I've ever seen has a J effect. What does it mean? It helps you lose weight for a while, and then after about 8, 12 weeks, it goes up. It goes up. Every one of them, they always go up. This one did not. So this is after just after doing this for 12 weeks, and if you keep it up, it's still working, and you still lose weight. Okay, I don't have time for that either. I'm just going to show you this one thing, and that is the green lines are fasting. You can see the green lines work better on every single thing that's there. If you look on CR, just calorie restriction, sometimes they work, sometimes they don't. Ketogenic diet, it works a lot of times, but then sometimes it doesn't work very well either. What works all the time is fasting. These are my grad students, helped me put this together over 20 years ago, and some of them are married and have children all over the place. And so this lady has two children, and she just had her second child, and she's been working for me for 15 years. All right, that's what we have. Yes.
Thank you very much for your talk. So aside from the beauty of the brilliance of the creator setting up these metabolic pathways, are there any other like implications for how this might affect us spiritually? Like fasting is oftentimes done for spiritual disciplines. Do you have any sense of, like, does ketogenesis have anything to do with that?
Well, exactly. It's exactly the same thing. Are you a poor, slobby, not doing the things you're supposed to do, Christian? And you want to straighten up and do better? If you tell your body, I'm not going to eat that thing today, and you do it all day long, what does that do to your mind? What does it do to your soul? Does it really help your spirit out? Only in the fact that you've said no to a carnal desire and the 17 other things you're doing that you don't want to do, it helps do those too. So really fasting from a point of view of history with the Christian church is because of that. And does fasting do that? It sure does. Because if you're hungry and you go, I'm not going to eat, but your body says, I have to eat or I'm going to die. And you go screaming, I need to eat. And you go, no, you're not going to eat. And just doing that gives you control over everything. It's just amazing. Do you have problems with things you can't control? I can tell you they all straighten up when you do that. Just say no to your mouth.
You just ruined lunch for me, I think.
Did I? Let's start fasting now. Yes.
So I'm not a biologist, but my understanding is that in not eating, and I fast too, so it's not a challenge with that, but in not eating, your stomach is still producing acids that then might affect the lining of your stomach, depending on how long you go without eating and so on. So do you have anything to say about that and how to protect against possible damage to your stomach that's producing acids without anything to work on?
That's a very interesting question, and it makes sense, too. You make acid routinely, but why do you make acid? When protein and fat hits your stomach. So generally, when you're not eating that, your stomach's not making, it's just not going, I'm going to make acid, and just bubbles up acid. It doesn't tend to do that. And so I wondered about that myself, because when I was a kid, I had ulcers. You know, when I was 10, 12, 15, I tried to kill myself young. And when I started fasting, I never had that happen. I never had excess acid. And many times, I think that people that have indigestion, you have GERD, you have reflux going up there. I have too much acid. I'm not convinced of that anymore. I'm convinced there's not enough acid in there, and it's causing the reflux. But that's different than this. So does that happen? Well, it could. And so when you're fasting, are there things you can do? Yes. You can do a lot of things. And I don't suggest taking the blockers that block the enzyme systems that cause that, but you can, and that'll do it too. I've just never run into anybody. I've been teaching fasting now for 45 years, and I've never seen that happen. So interesting. Try it. And if it happens, you can email me and say, it happened to me, Doc. Okay.
Thank you for the talk. I just had a quick question, I guess, about if you would give a different set of practical recommendations for females versus men, males, because of like the hormonal effects of fasting and possibly eating like protein in the morning. And I think a follow-up question would be if the body of research that has been done on fasting, if that has, the population has skewed like one way or the other.
Well, yes and yes. And so for female hormone cycle, can this mess it up? I have actually seen this just shrinking the amount of time you're eating mess up female hormone cycles. I have. And do I have an answer for that? No, but you can shift when you're doing it because your body is truly on a biological clock. You know, if you don't get sun on your face in the morning, you're going to get screwed up at night when you're trying to sleep. The same thing with this. When you do it, I always suggest you don't eat breakfast and eat it like noon and then to maybe on to six, something like that. I eat 10 to 2. When women have had that problem, and I've talked to them about it, and they just switched the time that they were eating, they were able to correct it because they weren't, their body wasn't functioning with their own internal clock, and it was screwing up their hormone cycle. So can it happen? Yes, it can. Have I seen it happen? I have. And I have seen people get around it just by changing that cycle that they eat. And sometimes I would say eat more, eat 8 hours instead of six. And then you're really not doing anything different. You're eating at 8 o'clock and 4 o'clock. Okay, what does that do? Well, it can change your metabolism and it can change your hormone cycles. So thanks for the question. Yes, am I done?
We'll take one more.
Okay.
Sorry, go ahead. You made it sound like fasting is a struggle. It always was for me until I went on a keto diet. And then I can sit and study till 3 in the afternoon or whatever and just have coffee early in the morning, and it's right. Not a struggle at all. It's very satisfying. Is that your experience as well?
Exactly. And so is fasting a struggle for everybody? Is ketogenic diet a struggle for 2 days? And then by the third day, there's never been a human being that I've talked to that didn't smooth out after that in the ketogenic diet. They could eat it forever. Now, have I ever seen anybody do that? No. I have some friends that have been on the keto diet for maybe 5 years, some maybe 10 years, but I've never seen anybody keep it. I can show you 145,000 people who started the ketogenic diet, quit, and weigh twice as much now as they did before they started. And so people stop it because you don't get potatoes. You know, I can't eat rice. Never? No, never again. Never rice. Okay. And like I talked about you at dinner or lunch when the other day we sat down, I actually think it's good on a ketogenic diet just to break it really big once in a while to get your body just back in rhythms of things. And so just don't do it. Eat candy bars all day long for one day and see what it does to your body. Okay, well, I have my cards here. If you want to contact me, my email's on here. I'd be happy to talk to you. Thank you.